I'll pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've had three interesting weeks looking at women in the Old Testament. Today is the first of 2 weeks where we look at men in the New Testament and more particularly what Jesus says to them. The women pointed us to some aspect of Jesus' life and work. But the men come to Jesus and listen carefully to what he says. And today, as I suggested, we look at John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and found a challenge. And this has got nothing to do with cockroaches. So first of all, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who's come from God. No one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was committed to upholding the law of Moses. He was a member of the 70-strong Sanhedrin, a council that had enormous power and governed Jerusalem at the time in civil, criminal, and spiritual matters. Why did he come at night? Well, it might have been that he was afraid of being seen with Jesus. It might have been he wanted uninterrupted time with Jesus. It might have been because he did not accept the prevailing view of the rest of the Sanhedrin and wanted to check Jesus out for himself. You see, he already had a high view of Jesus. He saw Jesus was a rabbi from God. He saw Jesus had the hand of God on his life and works, his demeanour, his healings, his debates and signs. I see Nicodemus as a gentleman, a thinker who already had the curiosity that leads to faith. Well, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at all? It seems that Nicodemus saw something in Jesus, even though the party line said, "He's no good, he's a blasphemer." We need to remember that the party line in Jerusalem at that time was that God was a unity, a singularity. The faith of the Jews was a very strict, narrow monotheism. This arose in response to the Babylonian exile that was blamed on the failure of the Jews to keep the law of Moses. The Pharisees grew out of that context and embraced the challenge that never again would their faith be guilty of not keeping the law of Moses. So when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, we meet someone who knows the law of Moses, someone who is across the history of his people from before Abraham was a boy. Yet at the same time, he could see more than the others of the Sanhedrin. He could see the light coming from around the door at night time when Jesus was in the next room. And we remember that Jesus said he is the light of the world, and all the rest of humanity is in the darkness of sin and unbelief. Nicodemus could hear the trumpet of eternity sounding through the words and works of Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus with an inquiring mind. He senses there is more. His soul is seeking sustenance. His spirit is curious. He is questing answers that the strong monotheism of the time would not provide. That monotheism that God was one had squelched all the life, love and grace out of the faith once delivered to the saints. It could be said that Nicodemus was like a cat outside the door in a storm, seeking to be let into the warmth and peace inside. And he knew that Jesus was the key to the door. So secondly, what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? How did Jesus answer Nicodemus's polite commentary in verse 2? Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God. No one can perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. I pick up 2 points. Firstly, in verse 3, Jesus says, you must be born again if you would see the kingdom of God. Be born again. That's impossible, says Nicodemus. Aha, Jesus says, I'm talking about spiritual birth. While Nicodemus was responding to the movement of the Spirit in his life in coming to Jesus, he wasn't prepared for this. He feels Jesus is asking him to go back to wearing nappies. And in one sense, of course, he's correct. Remember the hymn with the line in it, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. This is what Jesus is pointing to. When we come to faith, we start at the very beginning, for as the Sound of Music says, that is a very good place to start. Being born again is fascinating. It means we start without any cultural history, but we start on a journey to an eternal heritage. We start without any educational status, but with a glorious opportunity to learn the things of the kingdom of God. We start without any theological aspirations, but with a heart wired to hear and to know God. Being born again is like being an immigrant. As Paul says, all things become new. That's what happens with immigrants. All things become new when they go to another country. Being born again is such a radical change to our soul. It is like new birth. The idea of new birth was all over the ancient world, in fact. It was part of the mystery religions of the time. They required an would-be adherent to go through various trials of initiation and to come out as a born-again person, an adherent to the ways of the cult. But Jesus goes on and explains to Nicodemus that boy being born again has a likeness with the wind. We all know we're coming with summer, aren't we? We've got that funny time again. We know what it is to have a sweltering, sultry, hot day, day after day after day. I think the best so far is about 14 in a row. But we also know the reviving effect of that refreshing cool change that comes and innervates our bodies, minds and spirits. So the coolness of the change enables us to live again. Being born again is to be spiritually made new in such a way that it can only be described as new birth or recreation. As it comes, we find we are no longer just curious about Jesus, but that we love him and allow him into our hearts as Lord of our lives. We are forgiven of our past, armed by the Spirit for the future, ready to do the will of God. We are members of God's family, living the very life of God. The second thing Jesus says to Nicodemus is, in verse 14, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. This is almost as puzzling as the first comment. So, the first part of the second comment, the name, the Son of Man, Jesus is using as a synonym for himself. So instead of saying, I will be lifted up, He is saying the Son of Man will be lifted up. He is using the title of the apocalyptic figure from Daniel to describe what must happen to gather up a much wider context than that of Jesus, the carpenter, the son of Joseph. The second part of that statement, to be lifted up, Jesus is referring to the incident in Numbers 21, which was our Old Testament reading. This records the Israelites when they murmured in the wilderness against Moses and God after the Exodus because they wanted to go back to the fast food of Egypt. John is using this incident to say that anyone who looks at Jesus lifted up on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and believes in him will live and have eternal life. An image of death on the cross is sketched out for us in the psalm that we had this morning. It is gruesome. But the lifting up of Jesus is a synonym for the crucifixion, as his death for us is our life. The two statements of Jesus, you must be born again and the Son of Man must be lifted up, come together. So Jesus says, the person who is born again and believes in my death on the cross will have eternal life. Nicodemus is given a whole new way of looking at faith and commitment. Nicodemus must start again, be born from above, experiencing the refreshing wind of the Spirit blowing through his life, knowing that Jesus died for him. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Jesus has a word or two to Nicodemus. Well, thirdly, what about us? Bless you, yes. What Jesus said to Nicodemus comes right through to our day and age with all its spiritual authority and convicting power. Jesus pointed Nicodemus in the right direction. We know the Holy Spirit kept talking to Nicodemus and that he was born again, as he features twice more in John's Gospel. In chapter 7, he asks in the Sanhedrin for a fair trial for Jesus and is rather impolitely condemned by his fellow Sanhedrin members. In chapter 19, he buys 35 kilos of spices to embalm Jesus' body in burial. So the one who wondered what new birth was has been born again, born from above, and born to follow Jesus. When people come to Jesus in the New Testament, he individually tailors his approach to them to meet their point of need, just as he did with Nicodemus. Each time Jesus' death is wrapped up in that point of need, as the new birth wrapped up Jesus' death for Nicodemus. As we come to Jesus ourselves, he will deal with us the best in the way that best fits who we are, so we will grasp that Jesus is the way, the truth and the light, and that his death will avail for us for our lives. What is your point of need as you come to Jesus? Like Nicodemus, we know something of Jesus, and it is enough to draw us into a deeper life-changing relationship with, as the Holy Spirit continues talking to us. Our destiny is closely coupled with how willing we are to say yes to Jesus. And we all know how powerful saying yes is, don't we? Just look at the advertising in our community. Yes is a hugely affirming word. And to affirm Jesus, we simply need to say yes to him. Jesus greets and welcomes the honest inquirer who will say yes to him. He will meet them in their body and soul, mind and spirit, and he will lead them on from there to faith, hope, and eternal life.